W1RPG. W1RPG. This is WA1RHG. Whiskey Alpha 1 Romeo Tel Golf. Listening.
Kilo Oscar 4 Zulu Echo Whiskey Mobile. My name is Ben. Did you call it a specific station or was that a general call out? CQ.
Good afternoon, Dan. No, I was calling a friend of mine that lived in Connecticut that moved to South Carolina. I think he said he joined this particular repeater. Bob, W1RPG from Shelton, Connecticut, now living in South Carolina. But anyways, back to you.
Yes, I definitely met Bob, W1RPG. He is on this repeater off and on, so I know him pretty well. I don't know if you need me to clear up, see if he's going to jump on or not.
WA1RHG, QSL. Now, I haven't been having any luck going through the Echolink channel here. But, you know, back in the days when you lived here in Connecticut, you know, it was RF to RF. And also, you know, they used to have the, I'm not sure if you have one, but it was called the Ham Shack Hotline. It was a few different manufacturers on the commercial telephones, and they were modified. The firmware in there was deleted and uploaded by the organization supporting the Ham Shack Hotline. So that was nice. I could talk to him direct, like he was next door here, from Connecticut to Shelton. I'm not sure if I ever talked to him in South Carolina using the Ham Shack Hotline. Again, it's going through the broadband connection there. One last thing on my bench here. So they, I guess, for some reason, who knows, could have been financially, they're not supporting the server or servers for Ham Shack Hotline. So no thing in the Deep Six carton underneath my bench. Back to you.
Heard of Ham Shack Hotline, but I've never used it. I think it might have been sort of phased out in favor of Echolink. Was Ham Shack Hotline a full duplex, like a telephone where you could talk to each other at the same time, or was it more like radio and Echolink where one person would talk at one?
WA1RHG, Ronnie G, Hamden, Connecticut. It was a full duplex. That was just like, you know, our modern-day cell phones and our, well, some people still have analog phone systems, which I do, because I'm a security contractor, so certain reasons I want analog. I also have digital phone service here in my home. Don't have my central office anymore. That's another story for another time. But, yeah, it was full duplex, and most of the commercial telephones, you know, had the built-in speaker phone, so you press the intercom side of it, or the speakerphone side, and, you know, I'm talking to Bob, and, of course, I can't interrupt him, because I guess it's the way it works, so with the intercom, or the speakerphone, you gotta. That's the thing with cell phones, too. You know, you can't talk two people at the same time when you have it in the speakerphone mode. But you could interrupt the person if you weren't in the speakerphone mode. You know, I guess it's like a Vox, voice-operated switch. One person talks, you can't get in until the person stops talking. So I'm sure you know how that works. Back to you.
With all the buildings, so I hope I'm coming through. But we did have a phone tap on one of our repeaters, but we We canceled it because you're paying for the phone line and the heater and nobody was using it.
Sorry about that, WA1RHG. Someone, I guess, got too many things open on one computer monitor. I didn't turn my other one on so I could slide them over. Anyways, let's see. Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So I guess you're tech savvy how that works. Yeah, I'm a Connecticut State Security contractor. I also have a computer business. I'm a... Connecticut State Certified Electronic Technician. I don't know if that's good anymore today. I don't even repair anything anymore. It's so hard to find parts, and people don't want to spend the money to repair stuff. So that's why for several years, I don't know, at least 10 years now, everything is a throwaway. I find so much stuff curbside. And my wife gets mad at me if I'm going someplace and the wife is in the vehicle with me and I go stop and pick stuff up. She says, you got too much. She says, you got to start repairing some of this stuff. That's it. So I'm not embarrassed. I tell you, I got some nice stuff finding curbside that people didn't want to spend the money to repair, you know, especially with these flat screen televisions. I'm pretty good with that. As long as I can get the parts. I know it's very, very hard today. We don't have a local Radio Shack. It's just very difficult to get parts today, and especially with the prices of everything. For a little transistor that maybe cost back in the day in the 60s and 70s for a couple of bucks or like $15, and you got $15 to shipping and all this tax, I tell you, and then you come up with a price for your time to repair it, and the person doesn't want to have it repaired. And that's why we have so much stuff curbside, throwaway society, that's for sure. But, if I have stuff in my inventory, I'll repair it for myself. And if it's better than what I have, I'll just either donate it, give it to the local thrift shops like Goodwill and Salvation Army. Back to you.
O4VEW, Ben as in Benjamin. I completely agree with you about the right to repair and the throwaway society stuff. I've found some amazing stuff all over the place, and I have a junk bin that if I need parts, I'll pull from it. And now, if you need a capacitor, you know, you have to order the box of 1,000 off of Amazon, and sure, it's only like $10, but and you still got to wait for the shipping and everything. But, you used to be able to just go to Radio Shack, get exactly what you need, spend $3, have it right then. But I now have a pretty good inventory of transistors and potentiometers and capacitors because I've needed, like, two of them. And, you know, I ordered a variety pack of 1,000. So I've got a nice inventory built up for sure.
WA1RHG, yeah, QSL and everything, Dan. Yeah, I've been doing this for a few years. In fact, one of my local hams, we're always trading. We never exchange money, but a lot of the local hams here in Connecticut or in my area, yeah, we always trade things. You know, if someone's not using a piece of equipment, you know, they'll offer it for a trade. Never pass any cash. So, I got a nice hot gun reworkstation, you know, commercial. Has a digital display on it. It has a variable temperature. I think it goes up to 500 degrees. And I was always wondering why. And I have several old hair dryers down here up to, I think, 1,200 degrees. I have to try that sometimes. But I tell you, Dan, you know, you see stuff curbside, take it. You know, TVs and anything that has a circuit board in it. And strip it down to the motherboard or the circuit board, either way, and take a pie pan or a large piece of tin that you can get at these dollar stores, they call them, and try a hair dryer. And I tell you, all those components, they just fall right out once you get them at the right temperature and you don't damage them. And then that's, you know, phase one. Phase two is, you know, sorting them out, diodes, resistors, capacitors, IC chips, anything else in between. And then the other thing is, you know, looking them up on the internet. My wife helps me out a lot because she likes going on the internet. You know, she looks up the different part numbers, and she tells me this is what this is, the value, and the manufacturer, Texas Instruments, Motorola, or whatever. And then, you know, we'll find a little bin if I have it already, or a little plastic bag, a little Ziploc bag. If not, you know, we'll make a new one, and then I'll print it out on the computer and put the little the information, the sheet there, into the little envelope here, or the Ziploc bag. So, yeah, I know I have so many parts, probably just like you. But, yeah, people don't really want to spend time to have things repaired. But it comes up once in a while. But at least I know I have enough inventory for my own repairs. Back to you, Dan.
O4ZEW, name is Bravo Echo November, Ben as in Benjamin, just so you can tell Bob you talked to me. But yeah, I did buy one of those reflow guns. It's just a, you know, a consumer bench model, goes right beside my soldering iron, and yeah, sometimes, you know, I can just melt components right off the circuit board, especially surface mount devices. I've got the fan figured out so I don't melt the component and blow it away when the solder releases. So I've got it pretty dialed in that I can just, you know, hit a little surface mount capacitor or resistor with it. The solder just liquefies, but I'm able to pick it up with a piece of tweezers and it not blow away off the bench.
WA1RHG. Yeah, I'm sorry, Ben. I stand corrected. I got too many things up on the screen here, and I guess it's from a couple of days ago. There were some things here, people I was talking to, and there was Dave, there was Dan. Sorry, but Ben, I stand corrected, Ben. Very good. But yeah, it sounds like we have some parallels to each other. So, yeah, I don't do it too much. I think I have quite a bit of inventory. I make my own bin sleeves, you know, out of cardboard, cardboard boxes. I got a few different templates, and, you know, I map them out. I pencil them out, and then I fold them a certain way, and, yeah, they're all uniform. I got quite a few shelves in different parts of the down the basement here. So, yeah, most of the time for the local hands, I do just I just repair things locally. You know, like repairing their microphones, and I make on-the-ear signs. You also have foot switch I used to make, but most of the foot switches I get from the thrift stores like Salvation Army and Goodwill. A lot of the foot switches are from sewing machines, some of them from these, I guess they're called torch lights. There's a little button you press on the floor there to get the light to come on. Well, I know the torch lights today, they don't use those halogen lights, I think they were at one time. They were too hot and they were causing fires. But I think they did come back on the market with LED lights. So, you know, they're bright and they draw less energy and they're nice and cool. But those torch lights back in the day, I'm not sure what year that was, but they caused a lot of fires, especially them being close to draperies by the window. Back to you, Ben.
A foot pedal from an electric piano. Somebody had a real high-end keyboard, and they had a foot pedal for it, like you do for a piano, but it was an electric one. So I want to turn that into a foot pedal switch for a microphone. I just haven't done it yet. And I just put a new light over my bench, and I went looking for one of those four-foot, fluorescent bench lights. and I found one that was LED, and it's just as bright, and it takes a fraction of the power. So it's a 4-foot-long bench light. Hang it right above the bench by those two, by the two little chains, and I was able to wire it into a wall switch, and I love it. It doesn't have the flicker that a fluorescent light does, and I was really happy with it.
WA1RHG, Hamden, Connecticut. Yeah, very good, Ben. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, those fluorescent lights, I do have the 8-foot ones in the garage and also in my, I call it my Marconi room. A lot of us are trying to change the name here for, ham shack or radio room to Marconi room here, at least here in Connecticut. A few of us decided on that. Maybe we could change something. Maybe we can make a little history. Yeah, the Marconi room. But, yeah, I got two tube fluorescent light fixture in the garage, 8-foot long, and I also have one in my Marconi room, but I don't use it because of the gas in there. What do they use? Fluorescent, I believe. Yes, fluorescent gas. And the ionization there, I mean, some of the HF frequencies really get cranky. You know, I can hear all that static from the gas being ionized. So, yeah, I don't use those anymore. Yeah, most of the lights in our home here are LED, and my Marconi room has LED ones, so that's fine. Draws less power, less heat. But, yeah, it's nice that you were able to come up with that. Yeah, I also interface, you know, for many years I see on the internet the amateur radios saying, how do I wire a desk mic into my HT? Or how do I wire, you know, a CB radio desk mic into my ham radios? But Most of the books, the user books, when you look at them, it shows you, you know, not, it doesn't come out and say it, but they show the schematic of the handheld microphone, and it's kind of a hint right there how to do it. So, yeah, I never made a YouTube, but I'm sure there might be some out there, but yeah. I take a little plastic project box. I get them at Home Depot, the little low-voltage blue boxes. I got the foot switch, you know, normally open circuit, going into the project box. I also make my own homemade studio microphones with the boom stands. They're old-school lamps, the two-arm lamps back in the day. I convert those to boom stands. They look equal or better than the commercial broadcast radio stations, but all that's wired into the blue low-voltage plastic box. And there's some electronics involved with that because the most of our amateur radios use the Electret microphone. I use a 9-volt battery for a Phantom power supply to power it. There's a little bit more, but I don't want to time out the repeater. Back to you, Ben.
I'm at my destination, so I'm going to sign off. Been good talking to you, and I'll probably see Bob on Monday evening, so I'll tell him hello for you.
Okay, Ben, I think there might be another station. Might want to use the repeater here, but yeah, I don't see, never made a contact with you. So you made my day making a new amateur radio contact. And yeah, tell him Ronnie G from Hamden, Connecticut. He'll know. All right, good talking to you, Ben. Hope to talk to you again. I try to get in here maybe once a week. 7-3, drive safe, be safe. WA1RHE, be clear of you. Take care, Ben.
And I'll tell Bob you said hello. Maybe I'll catch you on this repeater again sometime. KO4ZEW Mobile, I will be clear.
This is WA1RHG. If there's another station there, go ahead, please.
KQ4CRG monitoring.
This is WA1RHG, Whiskey Alpha 1, Romeo Hotel Golf. Ronnie G, Hammond, Connecticut, QSL, and that station reporting. This is WA1RHG, Whiskey Alpha 1, Romeo Hotel Golf. Clearing out the repeater and listening.